Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
on this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Now we are in Revelation 18. We just spent a couple of weeks in Revelation 17 going over Mystery Babylon, and now we find a reference in Revelation chapter 18 to Babylon, and here it's not referred to as Mystery Babylon. We want to study about that, Babylon the Great, today. Now, the chapter is laid out with a lot of descriptions about the fall of Babylon and what goes on in the city and its merchandise and all that other stuff. And what I'd like to do today is kind of an introductory to this great Babylon and look at quite a few cross-references through Scripture that deal with this particular entity here. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, "After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." What we want to do today is we want to study this city to some degree through the Scripture, see what the Bible is telling us about what's getting ready to happen. We're not going to go through all of Revelation 18 today and these other Scriptures. We wouldn't have time to do all that. So we're going to go ahead and get started and learn some things from the Bible about what's going on here. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. David, if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. When you read through the Bible real early in Scripture, you find a reference to Babylon or that area in the plain of Shinar, Babel. And throughout Scripture, you keep reading about Babylon. And indeed, Babylon the city has a very, very long history. You can find way back in 1800 B.C., references to Babylon. It runs all the way through 600 B.C. Nebuchadnezzar is there and takes the two southern tribes, the tribes of Judah, captive, and has a. It goes on until 70 years after the captivity, and then the Medes and the Persians come in and destroy that kingdom and take over, and from then Alexander the Great and then Rome and so forth. Now Babylon is the name of a real city. But if you look up Babylon today, it's just a tourist attraction. Saddam Hussein started to rebuild this city. It had been leveled to ruins over the centuries and over the millennium. And when he was rebuilding the city of Babylon, he made reference to himself in the context of Nebuchadnezzar, who is one of the best known kings of Babylon as far as the Bible is concerned. On many of the bricks, what Nebuchadnezzar did on the bricks is he inscribed his name as he built the city. Saddam Hussein inscribed his name on many of the bricks when he was rebuilding the city. And this is what he said. This was built by Saddam Hussein, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, to glorify Iraq. Connecting, see, with that long history of Babylon and its great king, Nebuchadnezzar, who was really ruler of the world during his reign. Now, when we attacked Iraq, that pretty well shut down the reconstruction of the city. As a matter of fact, our military set up, I think, the Alpha base there, and when it did, with all the heavy equipment and the landing zones that were prepared and so forth, a lot of the artifacts that archaeologists had been working on were destroyed. So a lot of the things that they would hope to be able to find there, you can't find there anymore. They've been reduced to rubble. But when you read Revelation chapter 18, which is something yet still to be fulfilled, Babylon here is mentioned as a thriving world power. And so it causes you to kind of scratch your head and say, what is he talking about here? Because we know he's not lying, but he says Babylon the Great is fallen. And we know from dealing with mystery Babylon in Revelation chapter 17, there was a city there. And in Revelation 18:18, in reference to Babylon, it says, they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And so, you know, you ask yourself the question, well, what is this anyway? If it's just a tourist attraction today and it's not a nerve center of world power. Well, evidently, when we look at these references in the scripture today, evidently what we're going to see is that Babylon signifies the world system under world rulers dominated by the devil. In other words, we know from Revelation 13 that when the beast comes up out of the sea, he is going to be given power and the devil's seat and great authority. There's going to be a city of operation. And so that city apparently is referred to as Babylon, which has this history in the Bible that dates back all the way to the time of Nimrod in Genesis chapter 11. Now, we're going to look at that. I'm trying to give you a little bit of an introduction here. First of all, go with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and when he did, he dreamed about an image. Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel interpreted the dream for him after he described the image for Nebuchadnezzar that came up in his dream. Look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, part of clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Watch it, verse 35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff on the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. What got destroyed when the stone showed up? The entire image, including its golden head. Now, go to the interpretation in verse 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a ruler of what? In verse 38. Everything. Literally, the kingdom of heaven. That Jesus will rule when he finally returns to this earth. And the Lord gave him the power, the strength, and the glory to rule over that thing. He's ruling over the fowls and the beast and the men and everything that's in that kingdom. And he said, thou art this head of gold. After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over the earth. The inferior kingdom, in verse 39, is the kingdom of the Medes and Persians. And then the third kingdom of brass is Alexander the Great. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That's Rome. They were in control when Jesus Christ was here on the earth. Forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, as the iron that breaketh all these shall break it in pieces and bruise. Where is Babylon at this time?
Where's Babylon at this time? On the image. It's still the head of gold. Okay? Now it says here that he's going to break in pieces and bruise, whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. So what you have is the Medes and the Persians actually destroyed literal Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's reign under Belshazzar was destroyed in Daniel chapter 5 in a night. Alexander the Great got rid of the Medes and the Persians. Caesar and the Romans got rid of these others. So break in pieces, but the image is still there. In other words, get this point, what's going through the kingdom of the Medes and Persians and Alexander the Great and the Romans is still headed up by the golden head. The influence of Babylon is still pervasive in those kingdoms. One of the common characteristics of Babylon was a female deity. Romans show up, and what do they have? Hello, a female deity. You know what the female deity in Babylon was? Easter. I-S-H-T-A-R, not pronounced Ishtar, pronounced Easter. You know what the Roman Catholics preserve for us? Help me. Easter. It's okay. You're getting it. Their female deity was Easter. The female deity that has come down to us through Roman Catholicism is Mary. Thank you. And so that is a pervasive philosophy. In other words, Babylon, the head, is still influencing the rest of the body. Who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. All right? Does it appear that Jesus Christ is the head of every person that is now in the body of Christ? When you see what's going on in the movement of the church and the apostasy that's here? No, it doesn't appear that way. But is he still not there? Yeah, you're not in the body if he's not the head. And so you have that similarity. Keep reading. Whereas thou saw, that in verse 43, the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Watch it. Verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume what? All these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's the arrival of Jesus Christ at his second coming. And what's still there? All these kingdoms. So we still see the influence of the Greek kingdom, Gnosticism. We still see the influence of the Roman kingdom, Catholicism. We still see the influence of Babylon. You see that? You still see the influence of the Medes and Persians. All of those things still have influence in the kingdoms that follow. That's very important. The reason that it is very important is that it helps us to understand that Babylon the city may or may not be there physically in Revelation 18, but all of the influence of that city is still there. Wherever it is, if it's under Ahmadinejad in Iran or if it's somewhere, it's going to be in that vicinity. It may not be that specific city that is now just ruins and a little bit of a tourist attraction, if you understand what I mean. Look in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And one more time, we'll look at this. So you get the idea of this. Get the idea of this. Babylon is still around at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we're going to get. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, the burden of Babylon. Ah, the city we're studying, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Isaiah 13, lift you up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice of them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctifying ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. What is this? What is verse 6? The day of the Lord. It's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in a prophecy concerning the burden, verse 1, of what? Babylon. So it's still there, you see? Now, therefore, Babylon, no matter what it is, I mean, in other words, let's say the Lord should tarry and Babylon is totally rebuilt and everybody goes and centers all international activity in that city, or whether it doesn't happen, Babylon appears to stand for the system of kingdoms on the earth. Look at Revelation 17, which we studied not just a few weeks ago before we started having all these visitors. Revelation 17. All right. Mystery Babylon is represented by a woman in verse 3 sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, right? The beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, correct? Look at verse 10. And there are 7 kings. It's the same beast. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7 and goeth into perdition. It's all the same beast. It's all the same system. And so what we want to do is we want to go back through the Bible today and we want to just see what are the identifying characteristics of Babylon. And if we can find in Revelation 18 and throughout the other passages in the Bible some of the identifying characteristics of Babylon, then we can identify what Babylon is today. And what you're going to see is it is an influence, among other things, and a system that is pervasive in our world. Notice these things. First of all, notice that Babylon is political. Babylon is political in Revelation 18, where we're studying today. Look at verse 3. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Political. She has influence over nations and influence over the kings of the earth. Notice in Revelation chapter 17, we're going to start looking at a lot of scripture now, so you're going to be noticing a lot of stuff. Revelation chapter 17, look at verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Verse 18, same chapter. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which does what? Reigneth over the kings of the earth. So this is for one thing, this is a political system with worldwide influence, where world rulers all over the world are affected by this influence, by this control. Her government is totalitarian. Eventually, she wants to rule the world. And so when you read in your newspapers or when you read in your commentaries or when you listen to the radio and you hear people talk about the coming of a one world government, Babylon. Political, totalitarian control of all of the kings of the world. Look in Daniel chapter 2 again. You're going to get some exercise today. If you don't know where the books of the Bible are, you'll have them all down by the time we finish this lesson today, because this thing is everywhere. Daniel chapter 2. I'll try not to outpace you. The worst thing in the world is for you to get to a place, read it, and leave, and you just get there, and now we're going somewhere else. The thing is over, and all you've done is chase us all day long, and you didn't hear anything we talked about. That wouldn't help you much. We'll try not to outrun you. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37, when we read it already, when Daniel is giving the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar, what does he say? Thou, O king, art a king of what? Kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Now, we've seen this thing over the history of man. where a nation rises up and becomes the world-dominating power. It's important to remember that from history because that's what's going to happen again during the tribulation. There will be a world-dominating power. So if it's not the United States of America, which a lot of people believe it's not the United States of America, then what happens has to happen to the United States of America for there to be a kingdom that will rule even over this nation? This nation has to come down. Its currency can't dominate. What are you going to have during the tribulation? You're going to have a mark of the beast. Is that the U.S. dollar? No. So the system is going to change of necessity so that there will be a dominant world power. Look in Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47. Look at verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldees, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. This is the destruction of that kingdom. Look at verse 5. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans. Chaldeans are the nationality of people around and associated with Babylon. For thou shalt no more be called what? The Lady of Kingdoms, plural. Another place, there's a reference to the Queen of Heaven, and you're going to see in Revelation 18 this designation. She calls herself a queen, a ruler, a female deity of sorts. So she's political. I have to tell you something else about this city. Not only is this city political in its influence, but it's also commercial. What is the number one concern of all people in the world today? Money, the economy, the global economy. When our housing bubble burst in the United States of America, everybody was concerned about the effect on the global economy. Today, if you want to invest money with an investment company and you're not just buying shares of stock in a company like ExxonMobil, but you're trying to invest in a mutual fund, they are going to put you in something called a fund of funds, more than likely. And what it's going to be is it's going to be a blend of international currencies, international bonds, international stocks. It's going to have large caps. You say, what are you talking about? I'm just talking money now. When apartheid ended in South Africa and the crime rate skyrocketed, I realized that there were problems with the system. When they removed it completely, the crime rate in South Africa is now, if it's not the highest in the world and has been for the last 16 years, it's right up there with the highest. And I was talking to an accountant in Colorado when the country was just collapsing on itself. And I said, well, I'm sure you're sorry to see the condition of your country. He said, no, quite to the contrary. We have better economic opportunities now than we've ever had before. All he was worried about was the money. And that's what a lot of people concern themselves with, is the money. This system is commercial. Look in Revelation 18:3 again. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Watch it. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, what do they trade in? Verse 11. The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn for her. No man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What does she sell? Verse 12. The merchandise of gold. Do any of y'all listen to talk radio? What are they selling? Gold and silver. And precious stones. Jewelry's getting to be a hot topic now. Of pearls and fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood. All manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, brass and iron and marble. So you got all these durable goods. Then you've got a lot of these spices, cinnamon, odors, anointments, and frankincense. Can't leave out the booze. wine and oil, fine flour and wheat. So you got, you know, the staples, the commodities, beasts and sheep and horses. You still read about pork bellies on the Wall Street Journal if you want to. And chariots. Next word. And what? They're even trafficking in men. People say, slave trade is over. It's not done. Didn't get rid of it. And souls of men. They even make a commodity out of eternity. You say, well, there's nobody that does that. Listen, I grew up, you know, if I say something, and I surely don't intend to do that, if I say something today that's offensive to you regarding the Roman Catholic Church, I grew up in that church and I understand it from the inside out. I will say anything to you like that today simply to be offensive. I'm trying to illustrate to you that Babylonian philosophy is in that church. That is a very commercial church. Rome could sell the artwork in the Vatican, feed the poor nation, the worldwide for several years. There's lots of money there. You know what they make a merchandise out of? The souls of men. You ever remember selling indulgences, paying for candles in the church so you could light those and get souls out of purgatory? You know what? That's a farce. There are no souls in purgatory. Nothing about it in the Bible. You read it from cover to cover, you won't find the word anywhere in there. There's no place like that. But they'll sell you money, candles, to get them out of there. So they even make a market out of the souls of men. Look at verses 16 through 19. When she falls, they say, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. That's the description you saw in Revelation 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. Every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. So not only did they make money off the stuff they were trading, but they also made money off of the distribution and transportation of those merchandises. Shipping and handling. That's it. You know what just got built by the airport? Shipping and handling. For Budweiser. Amen. There's all kinds of ways to make money off the system. Right? What did Daniel say was going to be characteristic of the last days? Knowledge shall be increased. What men should be going, what, to and fro? Just the increase of transportation. All right, cell phones and trucks, trains and planes. Now, there are a lot of references through the Scripture on this. Let's just look at a few of them. Turn to Isaiah 47 again. Now, I'm confident that we're not going to finish this description today. I was confident of that when we arrived here this morning. Rather than run so fast that I give you all the description and then leave you boggled in the mind, best to just cover a little bit of it and cover the rest of it next week. Isaiah chapter 47, look at verse 15. Just so you know, verse 1, we're still talking about Babylon here. See that? O virgin daughter of Babylon. Verse 15. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. From thy youth they shall wander every one to his quarter, none shall save thee. When she comes down, they all run for the hills to save themselves. Look in Ezekiel chapter 27. I've got more references here than I'm going to take you to. Ezekiel chapter 27. Now, notice one thing right away about Ezekiel 27 and also Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel chapters 27 and 28, notice what the lamentation is. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me. Ezekiel 27, 1. Now thou, son of man, take up a lamentation for what? Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou, and so forth and so on. What is Tyrus? Tyrus is Tyre, T-Y-R-E. If you were to locate it today, you would locate it on a map on the seacoast of Lebanon, where you'd find it. It's north of Israel, so if we were looking at the Mediterranean Sea here, we got Italy coming down here and the Aegean up here, and then you come around this way, and make the turn under Turkey and come down. You've got Lebanon here. Come on down. You've got Israel here. The little blip that sticks out like that, the little check mark that sticks out like that, that's Haifa. Okay, you can find it on the map today. So up above there would be Tyre and Zidon. This is addressed to Tyre or Tyrus. But you're going to notice something in Ezekiel 27 and 28, if you read this chapter for yourself, that it is loaded with influences of the devil. You see clearly the connection to the beast. And therefore, what's going on in Tyrus is identical to what's going on in Babylon, except Babylon doesn't sit on the seacoast and Tyrus does. It is that influence. It is that domination. It is that head of gold that you read about with Nebuchadnezzar still affecting what's going on at this location. Ezekiel chapter 27, look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that are situate at the entry of the sea, which are a merchant of the people for many isles. A merchant, see? Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy shipboards of fir trees of cinnar. They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Ashurites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Chittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt hast thou, which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. Look at verse 12. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches with silver, iron, tin, and lead. They traded in the fairs. Then verse 13, Javan, Tubal, Meshech were thy merchants. Verse 14, Togarma traded in thy fairs. Verse 15, the men of Dedan were thy merchants. 16, Syria was thy merchant. 17, Judah and the land of Israel were thy merchants. Damascus in verse 18 was thy merchant. Dan and Javan going to and fro occupied in thy fairs in verse 19. 20, Dedan was thy merchant. 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied thee in lambs. Do you see that? You see that broad effect of merchandising to all those nations that are connected to this? And it keeps on going down through the remainder of the chapter. I'm just not going to keep reading that for you. But you can see this modern economic system of commodities and equity markets and all that trading and all that stuff going on that's going on today that was heading in here. That is the Babylonian influence. Okay? Do you realize that the United States of America could survive as its own political and economic entity without any effect from the world? Do you realize we have enough oil here to support ourselves? We got plenty of water here. We can grow groceries here. We don't need them. And yet, somehow or another, in our government, we have forced ourselves into economic dependence on foreign oil and foreign trade, and now we have a trade deficit because we get so much from these other countries. That's the Babylonian influence. You see that? We're here because of this head of gold, because of this pervasive philosophy that runs through every society. That's how you, if you're the devil, that's how you get world dominion. You make the countries interdependent, where they have to have each other. All right, she's political, she's commercial. This Babylon that we read about in Revelation 18 is also religious. And this is a fantastic thing here. Go back to Revelation chapter 18. She's religious. For one thing, she deals with images. She deals with images. Statues, gods and goddesses that you have to worship. What did we study in Daniel chapter 2 when we opened this lesson? A dream about a what? An image. Do you know your Bible well enough without having to turn there to know what shows up in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know what shows up there? An image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. That's 60 cubits by 6 cubits. That has an unusual ring to the beast, doesn't it? If that thing is six that way and six that way and 60 that way, that's really unusual. Like an obelisk that you see all over the world. And he set that thing up and he made every king and every governor, of every sheriff and every captain of all of the countries that he ruled show up under musical influence and worship that image in Daniel chapter 3. Religious. It's a religious system. Look in Revelation 18 and look at verse 7. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Remember the Lady of Kingdoms that we studied earlier when we were in Isaiah? That I sit a queen and am no widow. There is a female deity that is associated with this, system. Now go back to Genesis. You say, well, that's a long way to go back. Well, it's easy to find. Thank God for that. Genesis chapter 11. Actually, look at 10 and 11. We're going to see these again. In Genesis chapter 10, notice in verse 8, Cush. All right, Cush, as you notice from verse 6, is a son of Ham. Ham is a son of Noah. The odd thing about Cush's son, his name is Nimrod. He's the 13th generation of man. 13. Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Know what that is, right? Yeah, Babylon. And Erech and Akkad and Chaldea and the land of Shinar, out of that land went forth Asher. Asher is the head of Assyria. And it was the Assyrians who attacked the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And they are Babylonian in their origin and influence. Builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah and so forth and so on. But notice Nimrod and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Look in Genesis chapter 11. We're a little bit of ahead of ourselves here because this system is universal. Notice here, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. How many of y'all ever watched any of the United Nations assemblies 30 years ago on television? What was the, yeah, right. All right, I know how old you are. I know how old you are. What was the common characteristic of those meetings back in those days, those televised meetings? They all had headsets and they all had interpreters. And now the television stations go to interview these guys coming out of United Nations assemblies, and what's the deal? They all speak English. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That's the area of Babylon right there. And they dwelt there, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to what? Heaven. Religion is very different than Christianity. I suppose you know that. Religion is man getting to heaven on his own merit. Christianity is God coming down to man to get him to heaven on God's merit. Major difference. These guys are trying to get to heaven in a tower without God. They probably going to name God, but it's their effort. Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, That's the key, unified, one language. They all have one language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. All right, so the Lord effectively accomplished a division of all the nations by simply changing the languages. And that was all good until the last 20 or 30 years. And now we're right back where we were back then. That's Babylon in its universality, but we're talking about religion now. You know what Nimrod had? Nimrod had a female deity. You know what her name was? Isis. There was Isis, Horus, and Seb, and basically what you've got is a situation like this. Nimrod, this world ruler, was said to be the virgin-born son of his goddess mother, therefore making him God. That's what he wanted, worship as God. And built this kingdom to get into heaven with a female deity. Babylon, as I told you, had Easter, I-S-H-T-A-R. As a matter of fact, the Easter gate was destroyed by our military in 2003 when we set up our base there. And now the world has Mary, a female deity. You know what? It's not much of a step for the two largest religions of the world to get together on two fronts. What's one of the largest religions of the world? Catholicism, and the other? Islam. That together, those together represent about half the population of the world right now. And that Islam comes from a history in the location where they are of a female deity. So it would be real easy to get them together on the common ground of a female deity, which is in the root of both of those religions, and get them to ground on a common ground with their desire to destroy Israel. That's not hard to do. Now, you think about all those other religious differences. You say, how would you get those two? You make friends out of enemies when you get a common enemy. And the common enemy is Israel, no doubt. Look in Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. It'd be nice if we had just several hours to finish out the whole, so your mind won't stray from what we've already learned, but by the time we study this again, but we'll have these things posted for you on the internet, and that should help. Jeremiah chapter 50. The word, verse 1, the word that the Lord spake against Babylon. There it is. You see, that thing is all over the Bible. Genesis, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel, Book of Revelation. Word the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not and say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded, that's the male god. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. She's religious. Look at verse 38, same chapter. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Look at Jeremiah chapter 51. Notice verse 1. What's the context? I will raise up against Babylon. Verse 17. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors, and the time of their visitation, they shall perish. Interestingly enough, Allah is the moon god, okay? And Allah is man's imagination, man-made god. People say, well, we worship the same God. The God of the Bible and Allah are so remotely different that they cannot be the same. The God of the Bible has a son named Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer. Allah has no son. That's enough right there. What you've got then, we'll stop here so we don't overload you, is that you've got a thing called Babylon. It's been around since Nimrod. It's religious. It's political in its world domination, totalitarian in its government. It is commercial in that people are willing to look the other way as long as they can make money off the deal. And that system is in control right now. What we're going to notice when we study this next week is we're going to notice that she's also, and we saw a little bit today, universal, militaristic, humanistic, and satanic. And it is the system with which we have to contend, but more importantly, the system that is prevalent and with which the Lord has to contend during the tribulation and His second coming. And that's what you're reading about. We'll study a lot more of that when we develop the studies in Revelation chapter 18. Hopefully that introduction will give you a pretty good flavor for where you're going with this chapter. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to open the Bible and study the words of God. We ask you, please, to help these things remain simple, clear, distinct, and yet profound in their truth. Help us to be good stewards of these things we learn for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.